जैया राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज गचार्य आशुतोत्तर शतश श्रीमद हि सिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज गचार्य आशुतोत्तर शतश श्रीमद हि सिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज शिल प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की इस्कोन फाउंडर आचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथराशिमं भागवतं की निताय गौर प्रेमानंद ओ ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डेवोटीज ओ ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डेवोटीज ओ ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल डेवोटीज ओ ग्लोरी टू शिशि गुरु अंशि गौरंगा ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, entitled Liberation, Chapter 2, The Dynasties of the Sons of Manu. And we're reading from text number 4 all the way to text number 9. I'm starting with text number 4 and then we chant text number 9 responsibly. So first I chant just myself. Ikadapa visagoshtam sardulo nishivarshati sayanagava uthaya vitasta babrimur braje. Translation. Once at night, while it was raining, a tiger entered the land of the cowshed. Upon seeing the tiger, all the cows who were lying down got up in fear and scattered here and there on the land. Text number 5. Ikanja grahava lavansa chukrosha bhajatura tasyastu kranditan srutva Prishadro Nushara Prishadro Nushasharaha Katgan Adayatarasha Pralino Dugane Nishi Ajanan Achino Babro Shira Shardula Shankaya. Translation. When the very strong tiger sees the cow, the cows scream in distress and fear, and Prishadra, hearing the screaming, immediately followed the sound. He took up his sword, and because the stars were covered by clouds, he mistook the cow for the tiger and mistakenly cut off the cow's head with great force. Text number 7. Vyagropi Brishnashavano Nistrisam Grahatastata Nishchakrama Brishambito Raktam Pati Samusrijam. Translation. Because the tiger's ear has been cut by the edge of the sword, the tiger was very afraid and he fled from that place while bleeding on the street. Text number 8. Nanyamano hatam vyagram prishadra prabira prishadra parabiradha biraha adrakshikshvat hatam bhabhrum vyustajan nishidukitam nukita. Translation. In the morning, when Prishadra, who was quite able to subdue his enemy, saw that he has killed the cow, although at night he thought he had killed the tiger, he was very unhappy. And text number 9, chant responsibly. Tansasapakulacharya Kritagashan Akamataha Nachatra Bandushu Drastvam Karmana Bhavita Muna Tansasapakulacharya Kritagasham Akamataha Nachatra Bandushu Drastvam Karmana Bhavita Muna Tansasapakulacharya Kritagashan Akamataha Nachatra Bandushu Drastvam Karmana Bhavita Muna Krishan Tam, him, Prishadra, Shashapa, curse, Kula Acharyaha, the family priest, Vashishta, Krita Agasam, because of committing the great sin of killing a cow, Akamataha, although he did not want to do it. Na, not, Kshatrabandhu, the family member of a Kshatriya. Shudratvam, you have behaved like a Sudra. Karmana, therefore by your fruitive reaction, Bhavita, you shall become a Sudra. Amuna, because of killing the cow. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Although Prishadra has committed the sin unknowingly, his family priest, Vashishta, cursed him, saying, in your next life, you should not be able to become a Kshatriya. Instead, you should take birth as a Sudra because of killing the cow. Purport. It appears that Vashishta was not free from Tamoguna, the mode of ignorance. As the family priest or spiritual master of Prishadra, Vashishta should have taken Prishadra's offense very lightly. But instead, Vashishta cursed him to become a Sudra. It is the duty of a family priest not to curse the disciple, but to give him relief through the performance of some sort of atonement. Vashista, however, did just the opposite. Therefore, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that he was Durmati. In other words, his intelligence was not very good. Om Agyana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurube Namaha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Ramapaswami Tiramide. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Itinamine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatyade Shatarine Bancha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. It's a very puzzling purport, I find. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, which is Anitya Siddha Vaishnava Acharya in our line, he described Vashishta Muni, who is the direct descendant of Lord Brahma, who is the Acharya or the family Acharya of the whole dynasty of the sun god. Vivashvan. So Vivashvan, his son is Swayambhuva Manu, and the son of Swayambhuva Manu is, he has many sons, including Ikshvaku, and then Ikshvaku established. So we hear from Krishna that, you know, this is a great lineage, and it was, is quoted by Krishna that first he spoke the signs of the Bhagavad Gita to Vivashvan, and Vivashvan in terms passed that knowledge to Manu, Swayambhuva Manu, and Swayambhuva Manu to Ikshvaku, and through Ikshvaku, Maharaj Ikshvaku, then the lineage of great saintly kings receive this same knowledge. So this is a great lineage, and Vashishta Muni was the Acharya or the family Acharya of this lineage, of all these great kings, saintly kings, including Lord Ram himself, so who appears in the dynasty of the sun god, Suryavansi. However, although this great personality took the action of punish his disciple Prishadra, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that he was Durmati. Durmati is a very, very harsh word. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the translation of his own, Emona Durmati Samsara Vitore, Emona Durmati, oh my wicked mind, Durmati refers, Dur means very bad, and Mati refers to the mind, so very bad mind, wicked. Or weak mind. And Prabhupada explains, appears that he was not free from tamagun, which is very puzzling, you know, because we're talking about these very, very elevated, powerful personalities. So the first thing that comes to my mind, I remember my grandfather, you know, we used to, of course, this is a very, you know, mundane reference. However, it's sort of a principle, you know, that was passed to me by, you know, my elders in my family, although I was not a very obedient and you know, kid. necessarily. But nevertheless, I always remember that because I was not very happy about the whole instruction that my grandfather was giving me. I tell you instruction. So we used to go as kids, you know, to my grandparents' farm, and then my father and all the elders of the family, my grandfathers, they would sit down and play this domino game, and they intoxicate, you know, they drink and they caca, the whole, you know, Kali Yuga Sudra, whatever, less than Sudra type of activities, you know. So they were having a lot of fun, and you know, and I was a little guy, so I would go and try to always be with them, you know, like that, and check the game, and you know, I would like to play and that type of thing. And they will say always that my grandfather would shoot me away and say that in the dance of the big donkeys, the little donkey doesn't come. When you hear it in Spanish, it sounds very sort of like, you know, there's this rhyme and this thing. So basically it was the message that in the business of the big guys, the little guys, you know, they have no business there. You go away. So I'm thinking like, in the business of these great elevated personalities, they can point out things like this. But from the little guys, we don't even dare to go into that type of business, you know, of sort of, yeah, actually, Vasishtha Muni, he is Durmati. He's in the mode of ignorance. No way, I can't even go there, because you know, there's these great personalities. Now, among themselves, they can say, oh, actually, I don't, you know, this action that Vasishtha took, I'm not agree, or I disagree, I disapprove, or, you know. And that was the mood of Prishastra. When we're going to read in the next verse, that he very humbly and obediently accepted the punishment of his spiritual master. And later we're going to hear the result of his mood, because the mood of this saintly Prishadra allow him to obtain the ultimate goal of life, given the qualification. Because in Krishna's system, in order to be able to receive the mercy of the Lord, the descending mercy of the Lord, in the form of transcendental knowledge, we have to submit to it. The principle of submission is a compulsory thing. The term that is used, that Prabhupada explained, is shash datu. It's a Sanskrit root. Datu means like a root, and sash, S-A-S, Shash Datu, means to govern. The meaning of that root is to govern, or to discipline, to control, to rule. That's the meaning of that root. To rule, to control, to discipline, to govern. And from this root, then it comes, you know, many words. Like, for example, Shastra. Shastra, with a long A, means the scriptures. So we are ruled by the scriptures. We are governed by the scriptures. And Shastra also, but without a long A, means weapons. So once someone wants to rule over someone else, they have a weapon. So, you know, Prishadra has this powerful sword, and the tiger, you know, he fled in fear. He ruled by the weapon. So, and then we have the word Shashana. We hear this from Lord Chaitanya. Actually, this word is used a lot. Shashana means chastisement, but it comes also from that shash, to rule. You rule by chastising or by punishment. You know, when the Yamadutas question the Vishnu Dutas, who are you to dare chastise us, who are basically carrying on the order of Yamaraj? You're basically chastising you're questioning Yamaraj punishment or laws of rules of punishment, when, you know, they were supposed, as per Yamaraj order, they were punishing. Yamaraj ordered to have this Ajamil being punished. You are questioning, who are you? So this Shashana means you rule by punishment, by discipline, Shashana. And we have the word Shiksha. Shiksha also comes from that. So one accepts voluntarily to be completely controlled by the spiritual master. So the word is the mood of the disciple is that whatever the spiritual master says, I follow. So that's the principle of Shiksha. So Shiksha means that one has voluntarily to submit to the govern and the ruling and the directions of the spiritual master. So whatever it is, if it's this way, if it's that way, you know, one follows. And that's the principle. So this principle, this Shash Dhatu, is a principle that allows the descending knowledge and mercy, transcendental knowledge, to enter into one's life. So when this voluntarily submission is not there, then it's not possible. It's not possible. This is according to the scriptures. So then one is not qualified to be a disciple. The word disciple also comes from discipline, right? So it means that one has to take up that. And part of the, as aspirants, as students of bhakti, is part of the training that we receive. We're trained to actually accept the govern of Krishna's system. And there is, you know, Krishna organizes a hierarchy for delivering that type of government. In any type of governmental structure, there's a hierarchy. So and through that hierarchy, then the Lord governs, and we have to simply embrace it, accept it. Once when we accept the ruling or the government in which the structure that we live, you know, we live in this country, and then we have to follow the rules of the government, and we voluntarily accept it, and then you're rewarded with the you know, the protection of the government. So it's a principle like that. And this is like Nityananda Prana was mentioning yesterday, that we're going to see during this canto a lot of that principle, that for those who are, I think in the previous purport of Srila Prabhupada that we read yesterday, the disciple or the proper shiksha do not protest. They accept the directions of the spiritual master, and it may go this way, it may go that way, but there is no complaint, there is no protest. You are, you know, the ideal disciple just accept as it is, and then follows, adjust. And then we're going to see just in a few next verses, how Prishadra take up, you know, this reverse or this punishment, which was, according to the great personalities, it was actually a very harsh and questionable punishment. However, the result was just right. And sometimes for is a mystic arrangement when you have a representative of Krishna, you know, an elevated personality, a guru that is representing Krishna, and a faithful disciple, then actually the result is always that Krishna is completely controlling and orchestrating the whole thing. For what? For the benefit of the sincere disciple. So so the result of this type of faithful following results with the disciples actually receiving the full mercy of the Lord. And when this type of reverses or things that doesn't go, that, you know, it may appear that it's a reversal, in reality is the greatest blessing. We see in the case of Maharaj Parikshit, of course, Maharaj Parikshit was not cursed by his spiritual master, was cursed by the son of a brahmana, who was universally condemned by his cursing, but he didn't protest. He took it, and then that allowed him to fully avail himself to his greatest devotional strength, which was to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, and became, you know, and after that he went back home, back to Godhead. In this case, Prashada will go back home, back to Godhead. We read yesterday in Prabhupada's breakdown of the whole chapter that Prashada, after being cursed, he accepted humbly and absorbed himself in devotional service, became perfected, and then entered a forest fire, left his body, and went back home, back to Godhead. So he didn't have to go from the sudra thing. He just went back home, back to Godhead. And so for those faithful disciple, all these events simply becomes the means to actually fully come to the position that was required. For it's almost like the last push that the Lord gives to actually, you know, push him back home, back to Godhead, for these elevated disciples. So it's a very important lesson that we have to cultivate. First of all, that we're coming from a society and a culture that is extremely skeptical of hierarchy. You know, we in the society that we're growing through, those who are in positions of leadership, the experience that we have is that they cheat. So they have burned us. So in general, we're very skeptical of hierarchy. We're more drawn towards relationships rather than hierarchy. And so it's not easy in our culture to actually accept, you know, a hierarchical structure. Actually feels a little like, ooh, I don't know about that, you know. I'm skeptical. I'm always going to be on the watch. Because it's just like that. It's because of being born in a society of the cheater and the cheated, like that, you know. But Krishna's system is like that. So we have to, if we accept and we allow ourselves to be governed by Srila Prabhupada, who is the preeminent Shiksha Guru of a whole society. And then Prabhupada established certain hierarchy, you know, a hierarchy to govern his institution, then we accept those hierarchies. We accept the hierarchy because we accept Srila Prabhupada. And from that perspective, we start to align ourselves. And the idea is that we're getting trained to function within the hierarchies as per Prabhupada's instructions, which are nothing less than Krishna's instructions, because Krishna does have a hierarchy too. That's what Evam Parampara Praptan means. There's a descending line with a hierarchy. And so there's the position of the guru, and the guru assign or provides a structure with a hierarchy. So it is there and allow us and help us to actually become more at ease and embrace, being able to actually come to the point to embrace this position of being governed and being ruled, the position of being a disciple, discipline, to be disciplined and to be guided and to be ruled by the bona fide representative. So, and the result of that will be that we receive the full mercy of the Lord. That's how he descends. That's how he descends into us. So, in the process of devotional service, as when the spiritual master gives us that, then is basically helping us eliminate all these different blocks to that that doesn't allow that type of submission to happen. So therefore, we're in the process of coming to full surrender. Surrender is when, you know, now I surrender means I'm completely submitted to the rule. So that is the main message I find in this very short purport and this passage. I don't even want to go, into what appears to be of Vasishtha Muni's being influenced by the mode of ignorance in some way. There is a particular thing that is, he is in the position of the Kula Acharya, which means, you know, he's the guru, the family guru, which Prabhupada hint here that the family gurus, his duty as a family priest, as a family guru, is to make sure that all these different rituals for atonements and to follow all the Vedic rituals and principles are being done by the family. So he's guiding in all these different things. So it's not to the family guru, it doesn't supposed to curse. It rather is supposed to help, you know. So, oh my God, so you kill a cow. Yeah, I understand you kill it by mistake, but nevertheless, that's a very, very serious crime. So let's find a way that you can atone for that. And then here is, you know, as per the scriptures, you follow this and follow that. So that was the family priest's duty, but Vasishtha didn't do. But in the, you know, dance of the big donkeys, I have no entrance there. You know, I don't know to call the great personalities, you know, the big donkeys, but, you know, from my grandfather's Ubacha instructions. The society of donkeys, you know, they have that. Any comment or questions? Gesya Charanishta and then Jai Baladev.
Thank you very much, Wu. Thank you for covering a difficult topic, but very important one. I was just wanting to share a few comments in my experience. Also, the way that Prabhupada established the management of his society was very much dependent on leaders, and devotees would follow that leadership because that was given by Prabhupada. And when I was getting trained in the Sankirtan van, our Sankirtan leader would tell us that basically you have to accept an authority to make progress in any sphere of life. So if you don't accept the authority given by Krishna or Guru or ISKCON, then you'll likely accept your mind or your intelligence, which are very defective at our stage. But you would say that even if your authority is wrong, even if he does or sells something that's not 100% right, still you get benefit by following. Right. In other words, we have the tendency to put anyone who's in an authority position up on a pedestal, especially a temple president or higher management. I think this person, with the eyes, we see that they should be perfect. If there's anything, any discrepancy, it is compromising their ability to execute that service. But the training is generally, even if something is not right, still you should follow. That's still your duty. And Krishna will take care of any little discrepancies. So I just think it's important that we don't have this perfectionist mentality, that it is the material world, you know, we're doing the best we can. But whoever's been appointed by Krishna in that position, our duty is to follow, and by following we get benefit. Even if there is some slight this or that, that rather the tendency that we have to make judgments will destroy us, as opposed to actually solving that problem. You know, that's between Krishna and that authority structure that's there, and that will be rectified, you know, in due time.
Yeah, if it requires maturity. Prabhupada doesn't advocate for blind following, you know. There's always a fine line for things. We cannot be fanatics. We cannot be blind followers. We cannot be sentimentalists. So therefore, we have to educate ourselves. And there are means within the structure to actually voice our concerns and voice our doubts. There are means. But the mood is always of submission towards the hierarchy and the government. You know, it's common sense. It's like civilized. So there are means, you know? And Krishna is the boss, and he's within the heart. He doesn't miss anything. So if you have a leader that is deviating, you know, things will be corrected. Because Krishna is a boss. And from our perspective, in order to protect our faith, to protect our capacity to grow and to receive the mercy, we have to follow the example of these great souls. Maharaj Prishadra is being quoted here in the Bhagavatam. It's a short mention, but it's very, very relevant. Just like Nityananda Pranaprabhu was mentioning yesterday. Shukadeva Goswami doesn't go directly to speak about Ishvaku, who was a great, powerful, you know, there was the one who established this whole great dynasty in earth. He immediately moved to Prishatra, and his example is being given here, how without protesting, although his authority has been criticized by the higher, you know, someone in those higher levels he's been criticized. He didn't even entertain, you know, saying, wait a minute, this guy must be in the mode of ignorance because this doesn't make sense, this is unjust. He didn't do that. He accepted and he followed. And he received. He received the full mercy. So yeah. Yeah.
Do you recall what was that? I don't know so much about Vishishta Muni, but in Ramayana, you mentioned, and Nityananda Pran mentioned yesterday, some pastime, or that he was the acharya of Ramachandra.
Yeah, he's the acharya to the whole Surya Vansa. He was the family priest for the whole dynasty. He's one of those Chiranjivans, you know, that live very, very long through, you know, through Satya Yuga into Tretra Yuga. And so he was the cool guru or the family guru in the kingdom of Dasarath Maharaj. And then he was a family guru when Lord Ramachandra became the king. And, you know, their spiritual master. Yeah, very important personality. So, it's a principle. There are means that we have to actually being able to do those things. We just have to understand that we've been ruled by Srila Prabhupada. And if I call myself a Prabhupanuga, I will embrace his rule. You know, to question when Prabhupada say, if you question his GVC, basically you're questioning him, you're not accepting him. So why calling yourself a follower of Srila Prabhupada? Now, is the GVC unfallible? You know, that would be, you know, unnecessarily, you know, you can, it won't be going too far. Yeah, so the GVC has made mistakes. And, you know, things get corrected, things get adjusted. People express their concerns, their doubts, you know, they're taking, some are not taking, and like that. And so the movement is advancing. But we cooperate. That's the key instruction that Prabhupada gave us. You cooperate. So it requires maturity. Jai Baladev.
Thank you for your class. Just two mundane examples, like you use one of your family examples. One example that I appreciate, a sports example that everyone can relate to, in this verse is describes that even though he was treated unfairly, he didn't act like it. Because the tendency is that when we treat it with somebody with tamagun, we turn into tamagun. But one thing I appreciate about one sports, two examples, I'm not sure if, I'm sure some people know about Venus and Serena, the tennis players. Well, when they were, before they came on a professional circuit, this is what I heard, that their father would intentionally hire people to cheat them while they were playing and, you know, mock matches. Because he knew that eventually they'll be treated unfair. And also one other example is that everyone knows Michael Jordan, the Bulls, is that when Phil Jackson was the coach, the reason I appreciated his style of playing, because he would always have them do Zen meditation. And he, basically his style of coaching is that he was preparing them for the refs to cheat. Because a lot of times when we go into any spiritual life or any circumstances, we expect people to treat us fairly. And that's not reality for anyone. And so my question kind of related to this pastime is that one thing I'm reminded, and this isn't from Canto 10, chapter 10, it says that Narada Muni cursed Nala Kuvara and Mani Griva because they were just enjoying with women and they didn't show him proper respect. But the interesting thing about that pastime is that in that one of those purports, Prabhupada mentions that Narada Muni wasn't acting revenge like the women are putting their clothes on and showing me respect, but you know, Nala Kuvara and Mani Griva weren't. And he says that Narada Muni wasn't acting in revenge, it was his exhibition of mercy. But it seems like this pastime is contradictory to this one, because although Nala Kuvara and Mani Griva, they didn't kill a cow, they were just enjoying with women from an external point of view. They didn't commit like a grievous act from an external point of view, yet they were cursed even worse than, what is his name, Prashada? Yeah, he was cursing worse. So my question is that when we read the scriptures, this was what Nityananda Prabhu was mentioning yesterday, it's very difficult to decipher, you know, what action to take, because there's so many, it seems like, apparently contradictory aspects of the scriptures. And my understanding, maybe you could elaborate on, is that I kind of wanted to mention it yesterday in class, is that we all make mistakes, but the tendency is that my understanding from the scriptures is that it doesn't matter how people treat us from this pastime, as long as you wish people well, it doesn't matter how they treat you. As long as you the well-wisher of everyone, then you may make mistakes, but you'll have no regrets about it. So, and that's kind of how from the teachings that we should view the scriptures, and maybe you could elaborate on a point. It doesn't matter. You know, we may make mistakes, but you have no regrets about it, because I wish everyone well. So maybe you could elaborate on that.
To what I understand is one is that the devotee's position as a well-wisher, you know, especially those who are in the positions of leadership, you know, because coming from Krishna himself is Shruhidan Sarvabhutanam, and those who are representative, they also sort of imbibe that mood. So thus Prabhupada always sign, "You ever well wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami." So the devotee is always the well wisher. So whatever we receive from the devotee, from Krishna's representative, is for our benefit. And we have that faith, so that's the faith of the disciple, from the disciple's perspective. Because we have faith in that principle, that however, whatever it comes is good. So at the end, you know, we may be a little sort of taken aback or confused, but when you settle into the spiritual reality, then you go and understand, oh no, this is good, So let me follow. So that faith of the disciples allowed the mercy to come. So you don't protest, you just follow, regardless. From us, you know, aspiring devotees, we also have to cultivate that part. We have to cultivate, you know, always try to desire the well-being of, you know, or our, you know, the devotees. So we have to cultivate that. We can take things personally, you know, and we have to cultivate that. Therefore, the whole amani na manani na principle, that you give respect, but you don't expect, you know, that reciprocation. You don't necessarily expect that you'll be respected. And that's a rough one, because, you know, when one is still affected by the bodily concept of life, you still recognizing yourself with, you know, you still have, you know, I am, this is me, and I feel hurt. I can avoid feel hurt when, you know, there's some disregard or some disrespect or things like that. What to speak when you have the intention or the idea that you're standing yourself, you know, so you have an expectation that there's some reciprocation. And then when that reciprocation is not there, well, why can, okay, whatever. But when the reciprocation is the contrary, it's like, you know, then that hurts. And in reality, as you say, one can react, you know, angry or frustrated, and then, you know, okay, you don't like me, well, I don't like you either, type of thing. And as devotees, we can get into that space. We have to. We have to cultivate this principle of, you know, always being in the mood of service with humility and tolerance. To take any position of leadership is a thankless task. Because, you know, you're set up, you know, you're set up in the hot seat. It doesn't matter, leader to big leader. Any position of responsibility, you're set up for criticism. You can take it. You can take it, you know, like personally, you know. So we have to cultivate that thing, the mood of humble service. We have to get it in there. This Trinada Pisunichina verse is like, is, you know, is our constant companion. But it's Srila Rupa Goswami said, we tattooed it, you know, like, or, you know, wear it like, you know, a neck beat, like that, for protection. Anything else? Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. You mentioned the point of the Western countries aren't like used to the idea. They're skeptical of hierarchy, and you mentioned they're more in looking for, like, they're more, they like relationships. And there's apparent contradiction in my head, because why, and regarding, you mentioned something about the spiritual master, and that I'm just confused, because it's not exactly a hierarchy, because there's a relationship. So it's being kind of presented as hierarchy, as an impersonal kind of structured robotic machine, and relationship is different or not containing, hierarchy doesn't contain relationship. Could you dispel my confusion?
Yeah, thanks for, you know, yeah. There's a relationship in hierarchy, you know, and obviously, you know, when have there's a relationship of being ruled by. So there's a relationship. When this is something that I read, I have to look for the quote, and maybe I can send it to you. It's from an article that once was written in terms of the difficulties that modern, is a postmodern societies has into embracing the ancient, you know, Vedic tradition, which is, you know, like that. So, and when it's with the explanation, as far as remember, is that when it refers to prefers to be relationship, right, and hierarchy, is when we tend to have relationships in terms of things that are part of our way of, you know, seeing things. And, you know, those are natural, and those are natural relationships. You know, so for society, the society that we grow on, you know, in general, you tend to be part of a community, of a network that more or less have the same type of values and views that you have. You know, so then we, you know, that type of relationship is the relationships that, you know, we learn in this society to have. So I remember my group, my network of friends that I grew with was all artists. And then, so I will necessarily not, you know, we make fun of this one, and, you know, we have this sort of exclusive type of mentality. You know, we are this clique, you know. And so there were others, different things. So we established relationships according to my views. And then when we take that into the spiritual realm, into a tradition like this, then sometimes it gets affected. So I prefer, well, I don't like the persons in this hierarchy because it doesn't fit my views. I prefer this person. You know, we start to be selective about, you know, who we relate to. And that's what it means. That, you know, that is not necessarily accepting. It is a difficulty in accepting hierarchy. Our modern societies are more to what fits my views and my reality. And that's where I tend to go to. That's what it means. You know? At least that's what I remember.
I'm kind of confused because just within Vedic culture, what comes to mind is there is kind of that choice of views, because one example is different sampradayas, different moods of even Gaudiya Vaishnava sampradayas. So there is, you know, there is some, within the Vedic culture, some kind of selection of someone's view or belief.
Yeah, there is diversity. But there's a very defined unifying, and the unifying principle is the hierarchy principle. So the diversity doesn't conflict with the hierarchy. So, you know, you have all different moods. So it's the principle of unity and diversity. Remember, we were hearing about that. The diversity is not conflicting with the unifying. The unifying is this lineage, or this govern principle that is there. And that's, in our case, the unifying principle is Srila Prabhupada's govern. So that's how it works.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.